This is episode 490. You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. I'm here joined today by a very special guest, Carl Cobain, who runs the Texas Rangers UK fans Twitter account. We talked all about how he found his fandom in the Texas Rangers, his unique take on fandom that is much more emotionally healthy than my own, and I think a lot of us Americans, how he kind of found his way to Dallas sports and all kinds of stuff. All that and more coming up on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. I'm joined here today by a very special guest, Carl Cobain of Texas Rangers underscore UK on Twitter, the manager of the British Rangers fans. I say British because, you know, I'm not exactly, is it all encompassing of the UK? Is it just the English fans, the Welsh fans, the Scottish fans and the North London? I'm still trying to get my head around all of the Rangers fans, but how are you doing today, Carl?
I'm good, thanks, Bryce. Thanks for having me on. Long-time listener, first-time appearer onto this pod.
Well, I'm happy to have you, happy to have listeners. I always look at kind of the demographics. They like kind of show you like how many like people in different countries are like listening to you. And I think the UK is always like number two, like even ahead of like Mexico and like Canada. There's, for some reason, I have a bunch of like German listeners. Who are you? Reach out. I'm always curious to meet Rangers fans from other countries. But yeah, glad to have you on the show. I figured, you know, as soon as I saw your Twitter account for the first time, I think it was like the beginning of this year, and I was like, there are enough Rangers fans in the UK to have a whole Twitter account for them. That's pretty amazing. So I'm curious, did you have like family spend time in like Dallas? How did you kind of come about like your Rangers fandom?
Well, there's no family connections or anything like that. It's a vague link, really. So it goes back to when I was a child, and it wasn't actually baseball what I started with. I simply had Madden on the Mega Drive. And because I was very young, I played as the best team on Madden. I didn't know what else to do, so I just picked the team with the highest number score, which happened to be the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I knew nothing about the sport. In fact, I used to play it as if it was rugby. So in this country, obviously, we have big rugby following. So I would just pass, what I now know is passing the ball to the quarterback and just run with it and lateral it to other players. And didn't do any forward passing, nothing like that. I mean, it all kind of spawned from there. As I got a bit older, I got quite heavily into basketball. So my school won the, one of our city's basketball tournament, the under-16s, which I played on. And I was quite competent. So because I was a Dallas Cowboys fan, I became a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Logical jump.
The alternative was obviously looking for a completely different city, and that seemed like I'd have to learn far too much. So I just went, well, I've already got one in Dallas, I might as well jump to the other Dallas team as well. And following that, when I got more into baseball, I immediately became a Texas Rangers fan, because again, there's that link. I couldn't be an Astros fan.
Of course not.
I'm glad I didn't now. I'm glad my pure luck made me fall on the correct team. But they obviously have links to the Rockets and things, so being in Houston, so being a Mavs fan, I couldn't jump on there. And that's just how I fell into Texas Rangers. But it happened, I was quite fortunate, but it happened to be quite good at the time as well. So, you know, I quite enjoyed jumping on when they were good. And it was just as they started to fall off and become not so good. But once you've got your fandom, you can't then jump ship. That is a fandom which will stay with me for life.
Yeah, that's a very British take on fandom. Like, this is my team, this is it. This, whether they're good or bad, like, this is who they are. Whether they're relegated or promoted, like, this is who I am stuck with. So I was curious, what was the first season you kind of started following the Rangers?
So the very first year I would have known anything about it would have been in 2011. So obviously a great team, didn't quite get over at the end, but Kinsler.
Sorry, on this podcast, we live in a state of deep denial that the Rangers actually did win the 2011 World Series. I just need you to operate on that fact.
That's fine. A wonderful year of Texas Rangers success. But that's how, when I first fell, it was just, well, I'll be a fan of them, and oh, they're really good as well. So it was quite enjoyable. But I didn't really follow it as I do these days. Like, now I will watch well over 130 games I've watched this season of a not great team. Back when it was just a passing interest of checking box scores and watching highlights, and that was all it was, really, which I feel is a real shame, because that would have been the best team I ever would have watched, and I didn't really get to watch much of them.
Yeah, they were a fun team. That was actually our baseball fandoms kind of blossomed about the same time. I mean, I grew up a Rangers fan, but I didn't really get into it until like the 2010 season. I like sat down, like, all right, I'm going to watch every single game. And then, you know, they ended up winning the American League that year, and they won the division. And Josh Hamilton was my favorite player, and he won the MVP. And I was like, kind of like a storybook, like, okay, yep, this sealed my abusive relationship with baseball that I would never get out of. But, you know, you picked a good time of following a team while they were good. I mean, obviously, not everybody can be the Rays and just be really good for like 10 years straight, but hopefully this rebuilding time won't take nearly as long as we're thinking.
I think it's a really good time for me to now be following it deeply, because now I'm watching so many games and I'm seeing a team not win better. It can only really go up, I'd hope, from here. So, you know, maybe in 3 years' time, it'll be Josh Jung, you know, Cole Wynn and all those other prospects taking us to the World Series again.
Yeah, that would be very nice. And maybe we could have an aging Clayton Kershaw reprising the role of Nolan Ryan, except being on actual winning teams. People kind of forget that, like, Nolan Ryan wasn't really on any winning teams. He was just kind of like there and old and achieving milestones while, you know, defying Father Time, which you know, the Rangers have a history of player defying Father Time. They have him, they have Adrian Beltre, and Clayton Kershaw. You want to defy Father Time. I don't know what it is about the Rangers, but apparently this is where you go to fight the ravages of time and win for longer than most people. I don't know. Dirk did it. So, like, maybe there's something about Dallas.
I absolutely agree. And even though we might have been great teams in his own, the moments what were created are things that people remember. So I think, and again, talking about relegation and stuff in other sports like soccer, we have a deep following for our teams, and I'm a massive sport. Now, I follow pretty much every sport you could name. And I don't follow sport necessarily to watch my team have success. Now, some of the teams do have success, but it's the following the sport for the love of the sport. So seeing milestones, seeing moments, and building those memories of the sport are what I kind of follow more. So I don't necessarily feel I need that actual success, even though that's lovely to have. It's the love of the sport what I enjoy more. It's team sports in general. I've just played a lot when I was younger, and I just enjoy that team sport atmosphere. I can be quite competitive.
That is such a healthy look on like sports fandom that just does not happen at all in America. That like I think everyone would be much happier following their teams if they just had that kind of attitude. And I absolutely love that and love that mentality. But we'll take a quick break when we come back, look a little bit more at Carl's fandom about what it's like to be a Rangers fan overseas, all that and more coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and finally have a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And now back to my talk with Carl of Rangers UK fandom. And we are back with Carl Cobain, the leader, the supreme leader, I would crown you, of UK Rangers fans talking about how he found his fandom and his much healthier approach to sports fandom than I think us Americans have. But I'm curious, we're recording this at, it's 2:00-ish Central Time, and it's like, I don't know, dinner-ish time, like 9:30. I'm very bad with math, so like, I literally had to like, I downloaded, I put London time zone on my phone. So you're like, we're trying to coordinate time. Like, all right, I need something to look at, like very, very carefully to like, let me know, like, all right, like, I don't want to do math about it, because I want to make sure that we get this right. But so you work non-traditional hours. And I bet that helps being able to watch Rangers games. But what is it like kind of like adopting, seeing this team from afar and, you know, drawing this connection as someone who, have you been to Dallas? Have you been able to make the journey to your new sports mecca, if you will?
So I have been over for a few days back when I was a student. I attended the South by Southwest festival to work.
Good thing to see.
Yeah, well, I was only there for three full days, but I was a music student, so I got the opportunity to get flown over, accommodation, and work in, at different venues for South by Southwest. So I've been in the general area, but I literally landed, was jet lagged, and worked for 3 days solid before sleeping on a flight back home. So not a great experience here, but I did have a fantastic time while I was there working the festival. Went to many venues which I can barely remember, and everyone was in very good spirits having this strange British man coming over who at the time had an extremely large beard when I was a student, and just kept buying me drinks. So it was a fun 3 days, but no, unfortunately I've not actually been able to get over for any actual games or anything like that. It is on my bucket list to do.
Well, you know, if there's one place you go to in America, going to South by Southwest in Austin is a great place to be. And, you know, you are kind of close. You get kind of the cowboy yeehaw feel, a little different in Austin than it is here up in Dallas and Fort Worth and Arlington, this whole area. But definitely a solid experience. So how do you kind of like, I guess Twitter is a good way to bond with other fans. But how do you find other UK fans that are following the Rangers, and kind of, do you get to have like watch parties or things like that? How does that kind of work?
So there's actually quite a larger than people realize baseball support throughout the UK in general. So obviously we had the London series a couple of years ago, Yankees Red Sox, and they were sold out very quickly. So I didn't get to those because sold out too quick. But there's support for every team. Now, I fell onto it mainly because just my love of baseball blossomed, and I used Twitter in general. So I would follow literally every baseball team. I followed their accounts. And then I just started by actually discovering UK fan accounts, which was getting retweeted for different baseball accounts, basketball accounts, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And the community for the baseball one is really quite close. So on Sundays, they all do kind of a watch along online where people get together, and there's like a one on YouTube, a show which is done. But there's also get together meetups which have happened, and they've only just started happening again with places opening up. But there's been some in Manchester where I'm based. Also, there's quite a few in London. We have batting cages in pretty much every major city now where people like to go. So the Manchester one opened not long ago, so you can get down and actually go and hit a few balls, have a beer, and we have the games on TV. But the sports bars exist. There's options whichever major city you're in, and there'll be a following there. But you also just come across people randomly. So I go to quite a lot of the sporting events for different types of sport when I can. So as well as being a big soccer fan, I'm a really big cricket fan. Mm-hmm. Cricket is basically like a British baseball. They're actually very similar sports. And every time I go to cricket, I will see different baseball memorabilia people, caps, shirts, every time you go.
Well, yeah, so I've watched a couple of cricket games, and I feel like it is the sport I understand the least on this earth. Like, I like you, I work a non-traditional schedule, so I am also up late. And especially during the pandemic, it was a good time to like kind of get into other sports. I found like a KBO team that is mine, the Duzon Bears, my beloved Duzon Bears. And since my sleep schedule was so messed up, a couple of my friends, we started getting into Australian rules football. And so we picked a team. I actually jumped back and forth between several. I finally landed on one because a friend of mine is a fan of this team. And instead of the first team that I picked that I think ended up either winning or going to the grand final, this team like had like their worst season in like many, many years. And so I kind of feel like a little bit of blame for that. But yeah, having that like kind of, you know, I kind of get it. It's a lot of fun to kind of see that from afar and have, you know, being such a sports addict. I feel like that's, it makes sense that there's a lot more British fans and whatever, because you're all like, we're all sports nuts. Mm-hmm. But something that I thought like when I first started getting into soccer, I'm like, wait, this is all they have? They only have like one, like really one basically professional team. Like there are some, I don't know how much European like basketball is starting to, you know, matriculate professionally in Britain. I know it's big in like Spain and all these other clubs are kind of starting it. But I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Cause then what do you do during the off season? Like when you have like a Dallas area team, if you're just a sports nut, there's always something going. Like in the summer, it's just baseball and WNBA. But like, I couldn't deal with that, having like a whole like 2 months every year where there's literally like no sports.
Well, that's how it spins around. So we have probably three main sports. So mm-hmm. soccer is the winter sport here. So you're running around in the cold in shorts and you play soccer because you can stay warm by running around. So that's our winter sport, really. It starts just in the autumn and it ends in the spring, really. But it's played mostly throughout winter. The summer sport is cricket. That is the main sport. It's actually the national sport, believe it or not, if you wanted an official one. But soccer is obviously significantly more popular. Mm-hmm. But cricket attracts 30,000 people, 20,000 people to games regularly at international level. Huh. And rugby is the other one. So a place like Twickenham, England play, there's 80,000 people there watching that. And there's a lot of professional teams. Just to make it more confusing, there's two types of rugby league and rugby union, which are very similar. But they're just slightly different, just to confuse people who don't follow it. One has 13 players, one has 15 players, and there's different rules when we play in. But yeah, I'd say cricket is the summer sport. Cricket is one of the best sports you could go to, in my opinion, because it's just a really long day. And it was pretty much invented as an excuse for people to go and sit in the sun and get drunk. Because the day it takes about 8 hours a day, and the games last for 5 days. So it's like going to a music festival.
Oh my gosh, that really is like going to a music festival. I knew it was long, but like, goodness gracious, it's like baseball. I mean, people were complaining about the pace of play in baseball. I mean, compared to cricket, my gosh, it's like freaking Formula One over here.
Well, they have other versions as well. So they have a 5-day version, a 1-day version, and then a very short version, which takes about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I would strongly recommend people having a look at the 3-hour version. It's called 2020. It's a lot of fun. And it's a sport. In fact, the World Cup was yesterday. The World Cup final was yesterday, which Australia won. But it's just, it's another sport. If it's a sport on, I'll watch it. My partner puts up with constant sport on the TV.
Yeah, that is something that we all most definitely have in common. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk a little bit more about the Rangers, what we want them to do this offseason, and a very famous, well, I guess used to be very famous British baseballer, and why that person is in the Hall of Fame. Coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know, I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. You can feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upward of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories with 4 grams of sugar and plenty of protein. So they're low calorie, they're low carb, they're low in fat, but they're also high in protein. Covered in 100% real chocolate, which is absolutely fantastic. Who doesn't love chocolate? If you don't love chocolate, then you won't love Built Bar, and you know, you've got all kinds of other issues. So you can share some at your family gatherings. You can go for one if you're hungry. Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, then you can go for a Built Bar or two. It'll make things less awkward at your family gatherings. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried Built Bar yet. Aunt Betty, like, I've been telling you about this for weeks. Just get on it, all right? Get on it. There's new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so go check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And now back with my talk with Carl, the Rangers UK fan. And we are back with Carl Cobain, the Emperor Supreme of all UK Rangers fans. We are happy to have him on here talking about sports fandom, what it's like to choose a team from afar. And I talked a little, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this exact player by name, but I found one British former player. It's been a while since this guy has been even alive. But Harry Wright is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was born in, where did we go? He played center field for the Cincinnati Red Sox. He was the first professional team. And he was also a manager. He played center field in 1869. He passed away in, 1895. So it's been a hot minute since he has been with us. But he is made famous for paying players a whole lot and all kinds of different things, having outfielders back up infielders. He is credited with that invention. Kind of wild that he is the only one that I have found that was in the Hall of Fame. And I was looking up like old, like players who've played, who are from Britain. I think it's, yeah, from the UK. I was like trying to make sure there's from this. Let's see. The most recent one, there was PJ Conlon, Chris Reed, and Phil Stockman. Those are the only three players, I guess hitters, to play in the major leagues since the year 2000. So, Lance Painter did play for quite a few years, 10 years from 93 to 2003. But there's not a whole lot of British baseball players. I guess, is it because they're all playing cricket?
Yeah, well, maybe you get a bigger bat in cricket, so it's probably easier to hit the ball than in baseball, because I still don't understand how anyone could ever hit a baseball from a professional pitcher. But yeah, that's not it's not a great history of a British sporting talent in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small country. That's the good thing about America, is there's so many different sports, and it kind of diversifies. And we got an American in pretty much everything. I mean, we've even got a pretty good women's rugby team that I think they medaled, but this year, I'm not sure. But I was just following one of their players on TikTok, because she was really good at being hilarious on TikTok and talking about that experience. But this is definitely the downtime for the Rangers. Not a whole lot going on quite yet. We did have Eduardo Rodriguez did sign a 5-year deal worth, I believe, around $73 million with the Detroit Tigers today. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of free agency news going on. And I've heard mixed things. I've heard different things about players maybe signing earlier because of the CBA, maybe signing later because of the CBA. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts on what you would like to see the Rangers do this offseason?
It's a difficult offseason, I would say, because obviously they're still waiting for a number of the farm prospects to generate the top-tier talent and come through. But it is an opportunity for Rangers this year. They've clearly got a huge amount of money what they could spend, and they've spent the previous couple of years shedding as much salary as they could. I think they've actually done quite a good job of that, and I actually thought last season wasn't a bad off-season in terms of tearing it down. They kind of achieved what they wanted to. But I would like them to start to see them at least picking up a couple of talents in this off-season. Obviously, there's dire need throughout the team in practically every position. Third base is probably going to be the only one which is not going to be one you're going to be looking at, with Josh coming up soon, hopefully this season. Everywhere throughout the team, there is gaps and there's talent who is available. So I would love to see someone like Suzuki, who's coming over, who's actually going to be, looks like he's going to be made available, being picked up. The Rangers have obviously got a good history with signing players from Japan. Mm-hmm. So I think he would be someone who would like to see. I have tried to watch as much of him as I can to get myself excited. And there's plenty of video available if you search for him online. So I'm now immediately imagining him. He is the new Juan Soto of the league, going to be MVP quality over the next few years if we sign him. And if he goes somewhere else, he's definitely going to be a flop.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the Rangers have done a great job of signing Japanese players, and they were definitely all in on Shohei Ohtani. And just every year, it looks like, oh my gosh, like I wanted him so badly when he came over, and then each year, I even more am depressed that he is not a Texas Ranger. You know, but it's fine. We at least get to watch him, and watching what he does is historic. But I'm curious, of your years of fandom, who are some of your favorite players to watch? Who are the guys that stood out to you as like, this guy makes me love this sport even more?
So there's two players who, for the Rangers particular, who when I first started my fandom, I really latched onto. So Beltre was one, being such a big name. Everyone loves Beltre, so I was a huge fan. He's probably now my favorite player I've seen. But when I first started, I was a huge Nelson Cruz fan as well from that same team. Thought he was just absolutely fantastic bat. So they were kind of the two who I initially latched onto quite strongly. Now, even though he is an Angel, I've been a massive Ohtani fan. Start of the season, I declared that he would win MVP this year. And then he turned out to, you know, be outstanding all year. So I've been claiming that I clearly know loads more about baseball than I actually do. But he's just been a revelation. In general, I would generally find myself being more attracted to hitters than pitchers, with pitching being such a volatile sport. If you're going to get into baseball, I don't get why you would want to be a pitcher, because you're just going to be injured and eventually fall off a cliff with your career, it appears. So I generally get more attracted to hitters. But again, that's because when I was younger, I was a batter in cricket, not a bowler, things like that. So I'm probably more attracted to them. But I'd say Nelson Cruz and Beltre have been my two all-time favorites, what I've seen at the Rangers.
I'm sorry, we're looking for the correct answer is actually Joey Gallo, but thanks for playing.
He is. This season, I was very much on the do not trade Joey Gallo train, as he was the bright hope. But, you know, at least we did get some what appears to be promising prospects back.
Yeah, those guys seem to be all right. But yes, I appreciate you indulging my Joey Gallo obsession. I do think I have an answer for why you would become a pitcher. And I think it's just because they hate hitters. Like, I think that's what makes the most, like, I just hate these guys that swinging their stupid bats. And they think they're so cool hitting home runs. Screw them. I'm gonna make them look so stupid. I'm trying to kill. Like, that's the best pitchers mentality. Like the Max Scherzers, the Clayton Kershaws, the guys that are just absolute like psychos on the mound that you really, really love to see. And that was always definitely something that Hans Krauss had, that I'm still so upset that he is not a Texas Ranger anymore. And will probably go on to do great things with the Phillies and make me very mad. But, you know, it's fine. I'm fine. We're all fine here. But, gosh, there was something else that I was going to say that I can't remember. But I'm curious, who's your current Ranger? Who is the guy that you love to watch on this team as it's currently constructed? I know it's a tough question, but...
Yeah. From this season, I think, obviously, Adolis has been outstanding. El Bombi has been given us a lot of highlights, not many highlights this season. He caused most of them. I'm a big fan of Trevino as well. He just as a clubhouse man, he's just seemed to be the life and soul. So I've really latched onto him. But also Jonah Heim as well. So hitting back to back walk off home runs earlier this year, both into the pen. Both of them were just, I was watching both of those games at 3:30 in the morning, watching it on my iPad in bed, trying to celebrate without waking up my partner, who was fast asleep. So anyone who gives us a highlight, I've been a fan of. So that is mostly Adolis Garcia, but Jonah Heim, really big fan of as well, after those two home run, walk-off home runs back to back.
Gosh, those were so needed at that time. Like I'm like, I hate this team so much. I'm so sad. Everything's going to be miserable. And then Jonah Heim does that. And I'm like, everything is great. We're never going to die. Everything is so amazing. Jonah Heim is going to be an all-star for ages and ages to come. And I'm still surprised he hasn't gotten a deal. There is a barbecue place here that started in Fort Worth. There is, I think, one near one of the Dallas airports. Called Heim Barbecue, and I don't know how they haven't like sponsored him yet already. It is fantastic barbecue. This is, they should also sponsor me for saying how good their barbecue is.
Free barbecue for you for life.
Yeah, or just, you know, just like one or two, like a month. I'd settle for that. You know, we can work out the specifics later. My DMs are open. You can talk to my agent about that kind of a deal. But yeah,
a few more walk-off home runs and that deal might be in place for him.
Yeah, he's absolutely good. He should already have it. Like, it should have been after the first walk-off home run. Here's the deal. Like, you know, you can get, you know, free barbecue once a week. And then once he hits the second one, it's like, all right, free barbecue whenever you want forever. Just like no bacon burn ends. Those cost extra. Those are absolutely delicious. But I'm curious, what are you watching right now? What is your watching routine? Have you started going into hockey yet? Or is it still, okay. Wow. You got all the Dallas sports.
So yeah. So I'm a Dallas Stars fan, obviously. not having a great season right now, unfortunately. But at least we're not just losing every game either on shootouts or just in overtime like last season. But yeah, so now I'm switched very much onto basketball. I'm probably a bigger basketball fan than I am hockey, mainly because I played a lot of basketball when I was younger. So I'm watching a lot of basketball. But if the Stars are on, I'm watching the Stars over anyone other than the Mavs. So yeah, I switch over. It's American sports is 24 hours a day for me, you know, all year round, as well as other sports that I'll follow. But because I am usually quite late, going back to my days as a student when I used to be finishing my work at 3 o'clock in the morning because it has to be in at nine the next day and I hadn't done anything, like most students. That's just how I got into generally a bit of a night owl. So the only sports that were on back then were American sports at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. So I just got into the habit of watching them then, and I'm still watching it now. So yeah, I'll be watching the Stars. I'll be watching the Dallas Mavericks and anything else until baseball's back on.
Yeah, it's going to be a while till baseball's back on. And I'm hoping they get this lockout, the CBA negotiated fairly quickly, and there's not a whole lot of drama because we've already done with one very shortened season of baseball. I don't want to have another shortened season of baseball. Like, when this becomes a KBO podcast, it's still a quality podcast, but it's not about the Rangers. I have to get a lot more creative with my episode strategies. But so do they have MLB TV? Is it different over there? Like, there's no blackout. So I guess that might be almost an improvement over American MLB TV.
Yeah. So we have all the same services. So I'm subscribed to basically everything. So we do have blackouts on NFL Game Pass. But they're only the games which are being shown on TV. So our main sports channels we get over at Sky Sports, and they have on Sunday. They've had the NFL for years, and I've watched a lot through there. But anything which is on their national broadcast is blacked out online. So if the Cowboys are on Sky TV, then I can't watch it on Game Pass. But I have Sky TV and I have Game Pass, so I still get to watch it. But yeah, we have all the different ones. So MLB TV we get over here, so subscribe to that one, get to watch all the games as they live, or if I'm not watching it live, I'll have my notifications off on Twitter and I'll watch it the next day while I'm working. I will have it on next to me. I have triple screen set up, so I can have one screen for baseball and two screens to work. And I'll just catch up the next day. But yeah, subscribe to those four main sports of the hockey and the basketball. I will be signing up every year to each one of them. And they're actually quite cheap compared to things like a sports package over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems nice. MLB TV does a great job. And so I'm glad that you get to experience it in all of its glory and stay up late watching Rangers games. I applaud the dedication and, man, because there's not a whole lot of people who'd be staying up till 3 a.m. to watch a team lose 103 games 130 times a year. That is next level dedication. And I really do admire your very healthy approach to fandom. And, you know, because that's really what it's all about at the end of the day. I mean, when your team is losing or winning, I still do a podcast about this team 5 times a week when this is the worst season that the team has had basically since they moved to Texas. But you know, it's not about that. And that's the thing that I really love about baseball is the camaraderie and how their games every day, and it's about the community and the friends that we make along the way. That's the real winner of the real MVP on the Rangers this season is the friends we made along the way, I think.
I would agree with that. I've had some wonderful contacts from people on Twitter. Get a lot of DMs off people in general who just want to talk about baseball, which has been great. But also when we had the Beltrade bobblehead giveaway earlier this season, the game started and I checked eBay, and within 10 minutes there was people selling them on eBay for quite a bit of money. I expressed my disdain for these people on Twitter, because I don't think that was a nice thing to do. And within minutes, I had a fan at the game messaging me, asking me for my address to send me a Beltray bobblehead over to the UK, which was just an incredibly kind thing to do. And it arrived just a week later. So I have one of those Beltray bobbleheads set up with all my baseball card collections in my other room, just there to look at. So with my Beltray Project 70 Topps card seal next to it as well. So it's those sorts of interactions which have really made the season much more better than just the actual results. Lots of friends in the UK baseball, so mostly insomniacs, I think, who have just stayed up till 3-4 in the morning like me to follow their teams, who are just trying to have fun while they're doing it if their teams are getting beat. But I've had it on both sides of the pond with some wonderful people just contacting me and messaging me. So I've really enjoyed the season for the people, not necessarily the quality of products for Texas Rangers put out, but also for people like yourself, Bryce, for beat writers, being able to stay positive and deal with the negativity online has been an interesting thing to watch as well, because you have to try and stay neutral and see where the team's going. Whereas most of the individuals on Twitter were particularly negative on what was going on. So that's been an interesting thing to watch as well, to see how people have dealt with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a, I don't know, not fun thing to deal with, but you know, it's part of the job. Also, the show is on YouTube if you're watching it on YouTube and you are one of those YouTube commenters. All of my YouTube commenters have been like surprisingly nice. Like there've been some who've like disagree with what I say, which like, that's fine. Like disagree with what I say, but none of them have like been like the deeply personal, just like awful things that you hear about YouTube comments. So like, I'm hoping I can like stay out of that range. YouTube commenters, you are very nice and very respectful. And I appreciate that about you guys. Don't change, or like tell the people who are really mean on YouTube to just like, maybe just like view the video. Maybe don't say really mean personal things like, oh my God, this guy's like eyes are too far apart, or his beard doesn't connect right here. Like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. I know it's embarrassing. I've lived with it my whole life. So you don't have to go there. You can just tell me that my Rangers opinion sucks, and you know, I can deal with that. But yeah, this community has been really great. And I don't begrudge anybody who doesn't, you know, want to put in the time and the hours when the team is like terrible. You just want to come back when they're good. Like no judgment there. Like this is just sports. So protect your mental health. And if you're not having fun with it, then like just hang out with people online. You don't have to be miserable about how miserable the game is. You can just come back when they're good, which, you know, I'll let you know when they're good again. You don't have to like suffer through them. Like, all right, let me sleuth this out. Like it'll be pretty obvious when they're good again. But yeah, this has been a lot of fun talking with you. Do you have any questions for me? Any final statements, any manifestos you would like to drop or anything like that?
I would love a prediction for the Texas Rangers record next season.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to factor in a lot of things. All right. Well, they're not going to get Eduardo Rodriguez. Good Lord. I can't speak words today. so that's going to completely throw off my prediction. No. You know, I think... Oh gosh, I'm also going to do math. I can tell you the number of losses, and then we'll do the math later of how many wins that means. But I think they're going to be about 94 losses next year, which is a 9-game improvement. So there's your math right there.
68 win season.
There we go. Thank you for the math assist. I kind of want to go one lower just to have 69, because you know, whatever. But no, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with my prediction of, what I say, 94 losses. Yeah. So I mean, it's so tough to have a team go from 100 losses, no matter who you add. Even if you add like your top my top five guys, even if they added all five of my like top free agent additions, that plus Josh Young plus maybe Cole Wynn halfway through the season, I don't think is enough to make this team even 500 or even like kind of sniffing 500. It's going to be a couple years. You need like two good off seasons. Like even when the rookies do come up, like Josh Young, who I think is going to be a pretty good rookie. I love him. Reckham Tech and all that good stuff. And same with Cole Wynn, I think he can be pretty solid, but they'll still be rookies. Like Dane Dunning had a really good rookie season this year, and he was about an average major league pitcher, which was really solid. But you need more than that to be a team fighting for 500 or climbing out of the rebuild. If you don't fully invest in the rebuild, then it'll take some time, like, and it'll knock you back down. And I think the Rangers, while they're talking big, I think deep down they know, like, all right, this is going to take a little bit of time. And I do think, I'm hoping they will invest. I'm still very skeptical because they literally just decided to not pay Joey Gallo, like, not even 6 months ago. So all this talk about we're going to spend so much money, but it was like 4 months ago, and you're like, yeah, this best homegrown player we've had in a long, long time since, like, Mark Teixeira, basically. Or I guess, well, Josh Hamilton doesn't count because he was traded for. But, you know, I'm definitely deeply skeptical. I hope they can pull it off because, you know, I need the content and I need the views and the listens. And those big money signings will get me very excited about this team for next season. But yeah, I think honestly, no matter who they add, I think they're going to be about 94 wins. If they don't get some of those big guys, if they miss out on the top three big shortstops, I think I'd drop that a couple of places. But I feel pretty good they're going to get a couple of big bats and at least one pretty big pitcher to sign. So that's my prediction for next season, and hoping it comes true. It's still going to be a little bit rough, but there's going to be a lot more excitement, a lot more, you know, fun moments. And I'm really excited to see what the new bench coach and the new hitting staff are going to do, because I think there are hitters with talent in this team that haven't quite lived up to what I thought, but there's definitely room for upside there. And I don't know, we'll just have to see next season. And I'm actually already like looking forward to next season. Usually it goes through like a month of like mourning, especially after the Rangers like knocked out in the playoffs. I'm like, I can't really watch the playoffs. I can't do this. But like the good thing about your team season being terrible and you knowing that they're terrible is like, you kind of have that mourning period towards like the back 2 months of the season. You're like, oh my gosh, this sucks. Whatever. You're still watching games. And then the offseason hits and you're like, oh, now I miss baseball. Maybe that's not helpful because it's going to be even longer. And instead of having that month off where I don't miss it, now I'm already missing it. But I don't know. That's the way baseball go. And, you know, the good thing about American sports is that they're on all the time. Actually, sports in general, they're on all the time, all different hours. And there's always something to watch to keep me distracted until next spring, which hopefully have a very different looking team. And a lot of expectations for next year. Who knows? That's next year. We'll get to it eventually. There's all kinds of stuff happening till then. Lots of Luka Doncic games, lots of Miro Heiskanen games, and also lots of Dallas Cowboy games that somehow have me excited again. I'm still scared about that part. That one's really scary. More than having expectations for the Rangers is having expectations for the Cowboys has been a barometer for how much I get hurt by the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway, I'm rambling so much. Carl, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Where can the fine folks listening to Locked On Rangers find you and interact with you on Twitter or any of your writing or just, I don't know, anything in general that you'd like to promote?
Feel free to come and follow me and my attempt to stay positive with the Texas Rangers and, again, Dallas Cowboys, although I'm not attempting to say too positive because we're just going to get beat by Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. I think if we accept it now, it won't be too upsetting when it happens. But yeah, come and follow me at TexasRangers_UK. Or you can follow my personal account as well, which I don't use as much, but it's just Kay Cobain. I don't have a Instagram account for the Texas Rangers following at the moment. However, a number of the UK fan sites have recently set them up. So I may be following in the off season if I get bored with lack of baseball. But just on Twitter, you can come and follow me now.
thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute blast talking with you. I'll have to have you back on some point later on and talk about, you know, this huge offseason the Rangers are going to have, or how terrible that the Rangers offseason was. Either way, I know you'll have a good head on your shoulders about your fandom with this sport. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Thanks again to Carl for joining me and talking about his Texas Rangers fandom. Thank you guys for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.